Hello and welcome to the Arizona Capital Times on Sun Sounds. My name is John Coe. I am in Flagstaff and I will be your volunteer reader for today, reading articles that were published in the Arizona Capital Times on or about March 25th, 2025. Headline: Parent Criticism Sends New ESA Handbook Back to the Drawing Board. Written by Kira Riley and published in the Arizona Capital Times on March 25th. 2025. A motion to adopt a new draft of the Empowerment Scholarship Account Handbook went without a second or a vote in a meeting of the State Board of Education on Monday, after a string of speakers and written comments opposed the implementation of price caps on certain purchases. The decision to effectively table adoption of the ESA handbook leaves scores of board members, the Department of Education, a parent handbook committee, and program participants to sift through issues raised by parents and propose another round of revisions. The State Board of Education must adopt a handbook by May 1st. However, the process for drafting a new handbook remains unclear after the recent opposition. Quote, "I fully expected the handbook to be adopted today," John Ward, executive director of the ESA program, said. "So I don't know what feedback we will get from the state board about what they want to see changed before the next meeting." The ESA handbook functions as a user's manual for ESA account holders, detailing everything from the documentation needed to apply to the criteria for program purchases. State Board of Education administrative rules require yearly updates to the handbook. Tensions over another edition of the ESA handbook started simmering early, especially as the board declined to adopt a handbook for 2024 and continued under the existing manual after parents and Republican lawmakers claimed inadequate input from ESA account holders. After the draft manual fell through, the Department of Education convened the ESA Parent Committee to promulgate their own handbook, with subsequent review by the department and eventual presentation to the state board. The department issued an initial draft of the 2025-26 handbook on March 3rd and solicited comments from account holders on March 4th. It was met with near immediate critiques, with a key contention being price caps. If adopted, ESA account holders would have been barred from spending more than $500 annually on home economics equipment, $4,000 on instruments, $2,500 on physical education equipment, $1,500 on tools for vocational education every 3 years, $2,500 on a playground, more than $2,000 on personal laptops and computers every 2 years, and $3,000 on a smart board for the entire duration of program participation. Ward deemed the issue a lightning rod and said written comments submitted to the department, quote, almost exclusively dealt with the price caps. Monday's meeting resulted in more than 40 requests to speak and just shy of 170 pages of public comment, with the issue of the price caps dominating once again. The position of the Arizona State Superintendent of Schools, Tom Horn, as previously expressed in an email to parents and emphasized in his superintendent's report, is rooted in the department's authority to ensure the program stays within compliance of the law. Quote, "Somebody has to decide what is and what is not a valid educational expense, and the legislature gave that authority to the Department of Education," Horn said in his report to the board. Though the department is backing the price caps, the idea to implement limits started with the ESA Parent Handbook Committee. Janelle Wood, chair of the committee, said members wanted to provide more clarity on what a reasonable purchase would be under the program and sought to speed up the reimbursement process by eliminating research on market values and the reasonableness of a purchase on the department's end. But she noted that the department's final version lowered some price caps and limited time limits on purchases. For instance, the department initially set a $1,500 limit on vocational tools, then the department changed it to $1,500 total over 3 years. Ward confirmed the department had changed how certain caps operated, but he clarified that they did not implement a price cap where none existed before. Still, account holders took issue with particular concern on how such caps could stand to impact students with disabilities. Stacy Brown, a member of the committee advocating against adopting the handbook she helped develop, she said the committee had initially intended to exempt students with disabilities from price caps entirely, though she claimed the asterisks never made it into the final draft. On Monday, Brown called for a, quote, direct attack on special education students. However, Ward pointed out that the department added language to exempt students with disabilities so long as they provided a letter from a specialist justifying the expense. Beyond that, Ward said the maximums would be, quote, a hard and fast rule for students enrolled under universal eligibility. Board members asked for more specificity in the text of the handbook on how the price caps would operate and apply to different students. Quote, I think we need to really be explicit on how this process works, board member Carla Krivikas said. When it came to a vote, Superintendent Tom Horn made a motion to adopt the handbook. No board member seconded the motion. Though the initial motion failed, Horn said he was confident the board would approve a handbook at their next meeting. The state board meets again on April 28th, and in the coming weeks, plans to work with the department to make changes to the handbook. Sean Ross, executive director of the State Board of Education, said in a statement, board members are looking for the department to seek more stakeholder feedback and clarify how newly added restrictions apply to students with disabilities. Ross confirmed the handbook will come before the board again at next month's meeting and said the board plans to, quote, communicate its wishes regarding the handbook to the department in the coming days so that they can be considered and potentially implemented. Janelle Wood, chair of the ESA Parent Handbook Committee, said she was not sure whether the parent committee would reconvene or work with the department as part of the second round of revisions, but she expects changes to primarily revolve around making spending caps clearer. Quote, we got some great feedback from people that the rest of the book read well, Wood said. Headline. Stolen Valor Bill faces roadblock, but Stryker could get it to governor. Written by Jamar Younger and published in the Arizona Capital Times on March 27, 2025. A week after the bill's sponsor accused the committee chairman of blocking the measure, the Senate Judiciary and Elections Committee held a bill Wednesday that would establish criminal offenses for people who impersonate an armed forces veteran. Senator Wendy Rogers, a Republican from Flagstaff who chairs the committee, included House Bill 2030 on the agenda after Representative Walt Blackman, a Republican from Snowflake, who sponsored the bill, and a bipartisan group of lawmakers and military veterans called out Rogers and committee member Senator Mark Fincham, a Republican from Prescott, at a press conference last week. Rogers said during the committee hearing that she asked Blackman to amend the bill so it would comport with federal law. She didn't elaborate on the federal law and how the bill lacked any compliance. Quote, my staff let his staff know that I was including it on today's agenda in case we had applicable discussions before the committee, she said. We have not, so I'm holding the bill. Blackman, a U.S. Army veteran, previously said he believes the reason why Rogers held the bill was because she and Fincham were attempting to protect Steve Slayton, a Blackman's opponent in Legislative District 7. Slayton was accused of misrepresenting his military service during the campaign last year. On his website, Slayton claimed that he worked as a crew chief and co-pilot on a Cobra helicopter serving in both Vietnam and Korea. But the DD-214, the official military record, does not mention Vietnam, only that he was listed as a helicopter repairman in Korea. Rogers was criticized last year for campaigning with Slayton, despite the allegations against him. Although the bill has stalled again, there is a chance the legislation could bypass Rogers and make it to the governor's desk. The House Rules Committee on Monday unanimously approved a Stryker amendment to Senate Bill 1424, which contains the same language as Blackman's bill. The House Government Committee also unanimously passed the Stryker last week. Senate Bill 1424 is sponsored by Senator Shauna Bollock, a Republican from Phoenix, who said she agreed to run the striker to keep the bill moving forward. Headline: Private Scholarships Fill the Gap for Arizona Dreamers, written by Kira Riley and published in the Arizona Capital Times on March 28, 2025. After the passage of Proposition 308 in 2022, students without citizenship, including so-called dreamers, those who were brought to the United States as children and granted legal status under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA program, pay in-state tuition so long as they attended and graduated from an Arizona high school. But financial aid creates another, sometimes insurmountable, hurdle as federal assistance through the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or FAFSA program, and Pell Grant program are not available to any student who is not a U.S. citizen or an eligible non-citizen. What's more, the Arizona Promise Scholarship, tuition coverage for in-state students, requires a FAFSA application or a Pell Grant eligibility to apply. The lack of state and federal funded aid leaves private scholarships to fill the gaps. And amid increasing anxiety, one organization providing financial assistance has had to extend mental health support to respond to a barrage of existential threats to students without legal status or from mixed-status families, all while speaking from personal experience. Jose Patiño, Vice President of Education and External Affairs for Aliento, a support organization for undocumented DACA and mixed immigration status families, planned to attend Arizona State University in fall 2006. The university initially offered Patiño in-state tuition with a full-ride scholarship, but after Proposition 300, a ballot measure barring students who fail to show proof of U.S. citizenship or lawful immigration status from receiving in-state tuition and state financial aid, passed in 2006, Patiño could not afford to attend. But both Patiño and Reina Montoya, a founder of Aliento, became scholars of the American Dream Fund, a scholarship program by Helios Education Fund to support undocumented students. Though Aliento, Patiño, and Montoya carry on the same work for students who are now walking a parallel path. Most recently, the organization wrapped applications to the Adelante Scholarship, a partner with Helios Foundation and Education Forward, to provide up to $5,000 per academic year to students pursuing a bachelor's degree and 2,500 students to students enrolled in an associate's degree program. Quote, "We're talking about students, dreamers, who came here at a very young age. Their parents most likely are undocumented. They're not working within the formal economy. They don't have a lot of wealth," Montoya said. "Being able to provide access to scholarships based on their merit or their economic need, I think it's really critical to do." Patiño said there's been a need to expand and bend the scope of support, too, given mounting anxiety for students without legal immigration status attending or seeking higher education. He noted the loss of college campuses as protected areas, a fear of family members being detained or deported, and the subsequent interruption of education and fears about their own immigration status giving way to a pause on pursuing post-secondary education at all. Quote, "It's just a constant barrage," Patiño said. It's also shifted how Aliento operates, with a pivot to a less public presence. Quote, "Now we have to keep it more word of mouth," Patiño said, "because a lot of folks fear that potentially we could have some individual or individuals who are not part of the community who could potentially start harassing individuals or potentially start reporting individuals." In looking to the future, Montoya said she would like to see the Arizona Promise program extended to all Arizona residents. Quote, "It's really critical for us to see education as an investment," Montoya said. "I am a testament of what happens when we invest in our young people and we just give them an opportunity for their sole desire to give back to Arizona, and now I'm living proof that I am giving back to my community." Rich Nickel, president and CEO of Education Forward, a partner with the Adelante Scholarship and an advocate for the passage of Proposition 308, also forwarded the importance of protecting Proposition 308 and continuing the external support, again, making the connection to the value to the state. He noted the organization's Achieve 60 AZ, an ongoing plan to reach 60% higher education attainment within the state, which Education Forward and Helios Education Foundation said could lead to $5 billion in economic gains for the state. Quote, "The only way we can get there is if everyone in our state has the opportunity," Nickel said. "What we've been able to do since Prop 308 is really include those students in our pipeline. Students who have, you know, went to high school here and graduated here, have lived here their entire lives, but previously they really couldn't afford to go." You're listening to the Arizona Capital Times on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been providing information access since 1979, and you can always listen to our live stream at sunsounds.org. Headline: Starter Homes Act One Step Closer to Governor. Written by Jacob Thorington and published in the Arizona Capital Times on March 28, 2025. Political leaders in both parties at the legislature have identified affordable housing as one of their top issues, but one bipartisan bill aimed at lowering housing prices with smaller homes is close to approaching Governor Hobbs' desk. After many stakeholder meetings and negotiations throughout the legislative session, the House Government Committee passed the Arizona Starter Homes Act 5-4, as several members on the committee expressed their problems with the bill. Senate Bill 1229 now needs to get through the House, and likely the Senate again, for a final vote on the amendments before Hobbs gets her say. With the goal of building smaller and cheaper homes, the measure would prohibit cities with a population of at least 70,000 from requiring specific home design and development standards. The government committee's discussion of the measure opened with Representative Janine Connolly, a Democrat from Tempe, introducing a striker amendment that would replace its language with that of a similar measure backed by the League of Arizona Cities and Towns, which municipal leaders say would ensure Arizona residents and not corporations purchase new homes. Critics of SB 1229 say the measure doesn't guarantee the homes built under the terms of the bill will be affordable or will be sold to Arizona residents. Quote, "Our goal is to put Arizona residents at the front of the line when it comes to buying and owning starter homes, not Wall Street investors who sell to the highest bidder," said Chandler Mayor Kevin Hartke, president of the league. "This bill would help increase the affordable housing pipeline and make home ownership attainable for hardworking families and residents." Senate Bill 1229 sponsor, Senator Shauna Bolick, a Republican from Phoenix, called the league's amendment hostile in a post on X prior to the House Government Committee hearing on March 25th. The amendment is similar to a competing starter homes proposal backed by the league, Senate Bill 1698, which never received a committee hearing this session. Connolly withdrew her amendment shortly after introducing it. The league's legislative director, Tom Savage, told the Arizona Capital Times that the amendment isn't an attempt from the league to take over the bill, but is a method to at least get their proposal heard by the legislature. The league has feuded with supporters of the Starter Homes Act for years. Nick Ponder, a lobbyist with Higher Ground Affairs Consultants, who lobbies for the league, said the league has been working on starter home legislation since back when former Senator Steve Kaiser championed the issue. Kaiser's major housing bill in the 2023 legislative session died in the Senate. Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed a similar starter homes proposal in 2024, and Ponder said the league wrote its bill this year based on Hobbs' veto of the 2024 measure. He said the league considers SB 1229 to be, quote, "pure developer bill that interferes with municipal infrastructure and general plans which are required to be approved by voters." Queen Creek Mayor Julia Wheatley said, quote, "This legislation disproportionately impacts the town and our ability to determine the look and feel while balancing our agricultural and equestrian routes with residential development." Starter Act supporters argue the free market will ensure more affordable homes are built with the bill because there are developers who want to provide a product to first-time home buyers. Quote, preemption is a weapon that the legislature uses when they feel like there's no other choice, and I believe we reached a boiling point across the board, said Representative Justine Wilmeth, a Republican from Phoenix. It's a supply and demand economy. A big reason why prices are so high is that there is no more supply anymore. The League's proposal would allow cities to require slightly larger homes than what SB 1229 offers, with a residency requirement of 15 years from the owners of new starter homes and an area median income requirement to try and target working-class Arizona residents and families. Quote, I do hope that as the senator's bill moves forward, we see a number of additional amendments that reflect these considerations, Connolly said. Bollock said she still expects one additional floor amendment to Senate Bill 1229 before it receives a full vote from the House floor and is sent to the governor's desk. Jake Hindman, a lobbyist supporting SB 1229 on behalf of the Arizona Neighborhood Project, said he believes the bill, as currently written, would allow people to buy homes at a price of around $250,000 to $260,000, but concessions made with the bill have already increased the expected prices of the new homes. Still, SB 1229 may be the only opportunity this legislative session for lawmakers to get a significant housing bill passed, aimed at lowering the costs of single-family homes this session. Headline: Stryker aims to bypass Scottsdale voters for Axon zoning. Written by Jamar Younger and published in the Arizona Capital Times on March 29, 2025. A Republican lawmaker has introduced a Stryker bill that would clear the path for Axon to build a new global headquarters in North Scottsdale and bypass a ballot initiative calling for voters to approve zoning for the project. Representative Tony Rivero, a Republican from Peoria, introduced Senate Bill 1543, which would require cities with populations between 200 and 500,000 people to allow hotels and multifamily residential housing to be built in areas zoned for light industrial use without needing an application which would require a public hearing. The House International Trade Committee on Wednesday approved the bill 8-0, with two members absent. The hotels and housing units would have to be constructed on the campus of an international headquarters, which would employ more than 2,000 employees who make more than 125% of median wage in the county where the complex is located. The bill is the latest measure crafted to aid Axon in its quest to build the sprawling headquarters near Loop 101 and Hayden Road. The campus would include 1,900 apartments and condominiums, a hotel and retail integrated into the company's headquarters. About 20% of the apartments would be allocated for workers. Axon officials say the campus would be an economic boon that could create 5,500 high-wage jobs and generate $3.6 billion a year in economic activity. Company officials also warned that it would have to move to another state if the rezoning isn't approved for the site, which would result in the loss of 1,000 jobs in Arizona. Those who oppose the project say the size of the proposed campus is not complementary with Scottsdale's quality of life. Opponents have also criticized the company and bill sponsors for using the legislative process to circumvent the will of Scottsdale voters. Quote, this is an election bill designed to negate voters' voice at the ballot box, said former Republican lawmaker Michelle Ugenti-Rita, who is now working with Taxpayers Against Awful Apartment Zoning Exemptions, a group that opposes the project. Quote, it's one of the worst election bills I've ever seen in my entire life as a politician. The Scottsdale City Council originally approved rezoning for the project in November, but the taxpayer group collected signatures to send the measure to the ballot after some residents expressed opposition to the headquarters. Axon CEO Rick Smith told the committee that the company has been planning the headquarters for a decade and has been working with Scottsdale officials for about 6 years. However, the COVID-19 pandemic forced the company to adjust its plans, and its board of directors wanted Smith to find a solution in an environment where more people were working remotely, he said. Quote, "We looked at what makes sense in this new world," he said. "I don't have to order people to come back to the office, but a campus could be a major role in luring workers." Scottsdale officials said Axon had been a good partner and that they're open to growth, but the proposed apartment complex on its property is one of the main concerns of the city's residents. Quote, "Nobody has any issues with those things, but my God, 1,900 apartments," said Scottsdale Vice Mayor Jan Dubaukas. "Please do not silence the voices of these people." Earlier this session, Senator Dave Gowen, a Republican from Sierra Vista, and Representative Michael Carbone, a Republican from Buckeye, introduced twin bills, Senate Bill 1352 and House Bill 2925, which would prevent an application for rezoning from being subject to a referendum petition. The Senate bill passed the Senate Regulatory Affairs and Government Efficiency and Rules Committees, but has not advanced any further. A Senate Republican spokesperson said earlier this month that the bill had support from the majority of Republican senators, but not enough votes to overcome any opposition from Democrats. The House legislation has not yet received a committee hearing. Rivero's Stryker Amendment was introduced on March 24th. Senator Frank Carroll, a Republican from Sun City West, ran the original bill. Although the International House Trade Committee voted unanimously to approve the bill, some members expressed hope that Axon and the city could work together for a compromise. Quote, "Axon is an amazing organization, and I'm hoping from this committee that there will be room for compromise and negotiation consensus," Rivero said. You've been listening to the Arizona Capital Times, a production of Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. Once again, my name is John Coe. Thank you for listening.